The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Continuing with the practice of mindfulness of breathing, I've covered the first four steps of the 16. And rather than continuing today with that into the fifth step, I think it's good to emphasize the importance of caring for one's attitude in meditation. And one of the inspirations for that today is to have an attitude of patience, to not succumb to any attitude of impatience, wanting more, eager to go further, wanting to somehow always feel like we're improving and getting more, learning something new. There's something simple about mindfulness of breathing, and maybe even something humble, that there's a kind of lack of greed or wanting more or expectation of more, a willingness. Instead, there's a willingness to just be ordinary and simple and be kind of in the, you know, on the ground floor, and to be somehow a modest servant of the Dharma, modest servant of the practice. We kind of give ourselves over to the practice the best we can, but trust the Dharma, trust this process. Just be willing to kind of offer the sincere way, our best we can, and then trust that what will unfold accordingly. And we don't have to be ahead of ourselves or looking ahead or planning ahead. And so mindfulness of breathing, one of the first lessons for many people is patience, lots of patience. And it's also a little bit of a trick, I suppose, maybe, to say this. It's true, it's completely true what I'm saying. And it turns out that the fastest way to develop in meditation is to not be in a hurry. The fastest way to cultivate the receptivity, the openness, the calm, the subtleness that really allows the practice to unfold and deepen is not to be too concerned about unfolding and deepening. To be more concerned about just being content to sit patiently, openly, with what we actually have in the moment. To have a continuity with breathing as if it is we're in it for the long term, as if, you know, this is, you know, our job is just to keep showing up and doing the best we can and let the progress take care of itself. So what I'm talking about here is an attitude, and a huge part of meditation is coming to terms, understanding and adjusting the attitude with which we meditate. And one of the advantages of meditation is that there's something about sitting quietly in meditation, doing something as simple as being with the breathing, that we start seeing attitudes we have that are invisible in daily life, or we don't really notice that well. Some of them because they're so subtle, some of them because they're so habituated, they've kind of become invisible to us. And certainly we don't see the subtlety in how it works. And when we sit and meditate, we have this heightened sensitivity, and even the smallest movements to attitudes that take us away or interfere with the deepening, the settling, and just being there in a simple, relaxed, patient way, start standing out in highlight. Now, if a person has a tendency to be self-critical, when we sit in meditation, we can easily get much more material to use to criticize ourselves. If the mind wanders off a little bit too often, then I'm a wandering off kind of person, and that's not so good. Or if I am, aversive to what's happening, or if I'm too greedy and want something better, and I see that, then this is not a good Buddhist thing to be aversive and greedy, and now I'm embarrassment to the Buddhist cause, and so we're kind of berating ourselves. And start seeing these movements, these attitudes, these beliefs that come into play, and to recognize them as such. Oh, there's an attitude. There's an interpretation. There's a judgment. And it's kind of, the attitude is more like the way in which we hold our experience, the way, the disposition that we have, the way we feel, think, and respond. The manner, it's kind of like the manner by which we respond, the atmosphere with which we respond to things and the way we think and feel. So we start seeing these attitudes. And one attitude that I had when I, early years of meditation, was I was sitting in meditation halls with other people, and I would compare myself to them. I had no idea what was going on in their meditation, but still I had this attitude, the grass is greener elsewhere. That over there in that person, now that really was supposed to be good meditation, and why am I not there? And it was a silly attitude to have because I had no idea what was going on in them. It was just an attitude or kind of a belief that I carried with me. And it was more than a belief because it came with a whole kind of atmosphere of feeling sorry for myself, of feeling discouraged, of feeling somehow left out of what was really the important thing, what everyone else was experiencing. All these other attitudes were kind of beliefs were coming in, and I'd get caught up in them. And one of the things I was really delightful was to appreciate that I didn't have to solve these things. I didn't have to berate myself or be too involved in fixing them. I could just trust my breathing. Just come back and stay with breathing. Just stay and stay. And when I did that, the energy of attention went to feed mindfulness of breathing rather than feeding these attitudes. And all too often, we reinforce unhealthy attitudes. Rumination, preoccupation, believing them, having them be the catalyst, the fuel for how we think about things. But just come back to breathing. Trust the breathing. Be really simple. And I had these images, for me, it's just, that there's you're on your scooter and you're pushing through, and maybe there's a place where there's cobblestones, so it's a little bit rough to ride on it and it's not so comfortable. But you're still, just keep pushing and pushing, and soon enough you come out of the cobblestones, and then there maybe the road is smooth again. And so attitudes. And I wanted to offer you a few attitudes or a few orientations that you might think are helpful for meditation. And so here's one. It's kind of a policy, attitude, understanding that you can kind of keep close by. It's enough to clearly recognize what is happening. It is not enough just to recognize what's happening in the present. Nothing needs to be fixed or changed. Just recognize. Patience with all that happens. It's good to have patience with whatever's happening. Being in a hurry is a form of greed. There is nothing to prove or resist in meditation. Every occurrence is a time to learn something new about being peaceful. So whatever is happening, you don't have to resist it, you don't have to prove anything in relationship to it. You don't have to defend yourself or explain yourself or justify yourself, berate yourself. It's just something new. It's just something that you can learn something new about how to be peaceful, how not to be caught, how to be not non-agitated about this. Another attitude is that you are a valuable person. Your well-being is important. And your capacity for attention is a treasure. No message that you are less than beautiful is worth believing. No message that you are less than beautiful is worth believing. And finally, trust the awareness that flows out of stillness. Trust the awareness that flows out of calm or tranquility, out of stillness. So these attitudes that I just kind of recited have in common that they promote a calm, non-reactive attention, including a calm, non-reactive attention to our reactivity. So this is kind of the sleight of hand or the paradox or the, some people, it's the delight and their amusement, is that of course we're going to have reactivity, of course we're not going to be calm. But can we be calm and non-reactive to that? And one way to do that is not to be too concerned about fixing things or trying to solve anything going on, but just come back and trust mindfulness of breathing. Breathe with, just be with your breath, the constancy, pushing the scooter of mindfulness, riding the wave of mindfulness, wave after wave, waves of breathing. And if something is particularly strong and therefore compelling for your mind to pay attention to, like some strong physical sensations, maybe pain, maybe strong emotions, maybe there's a strong bout of thinking goes on. One way to have some certain degree of tranquility with that is, and to stay with your breathing, so there's continuity, a constancy, breathing becomes the background beat or the rhythm of your music that just kind of keeps it going. The rhythm of your poem. One way to do that is to breathe with what's compelling, breathe through it. So sometimes you really need to acknowledge what's happening. The full acknowledgement, mindfulness of what's compelling and challenging is really important. You can't just ignore it and push it aside. But it's possible to stay with the breathing and then breathe through and breathe with. One way to see this is to think of mindfulness of breathing as the center of your focus of attention. And anything else that needs some attending is you allow it to be in the peripheral vision of attention, in the peripheral attention. So it doesn't have to get, it doesn't have to capture your attention. It just has to be known that it's there, and you just keep going. Just like you would on a scooter going through town. There's all kinds of things maybe you have to keep attentive to, the traffic, people, and all stuff, but they're a little more in the peripheral vision, and the central vision is just keeping your eye on where you're going with that scooter. So, where you're going with the scooter of mindfulness of breathing is on a long or short journey, on a journey that takes you to the next breath. That's all. One breath after the other. So enjoy your mindfulness of the breathing, and we'll continue on this wonderful path of that this breathing practice can take us. Thank you.